And the court will proceed to the fifth case, the United States versus Zambrana. Mr. Barrow, is that
Deborah?
Deborah. All right. We'll get it right.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Deirdre Durbero, and I'm Assistant United States Attorney in the Southern District of Illinois. Your Honors, this case arose out of a traffic stop conducted by Collinsville Police Officer Michael Reichert on April 18, 2002. It was during that stop that Officer Reichert became suspicious that the occupants were, in fact, currying drugs. And his suspicions were based upon the defendant's mannerisms, what the officer was able to observe from the rental agreement, from looking inside the car, from his observations of the defendant, as well as his observations of the passenger, and based upon what the passenger told him. Based upon all of these facts and suspicions that he had, the officer elected to continue his investigation, which he had the right to do. And in doing so, he attempted to obtain consent from the defendant. Now, the defendant did not give him consent to search the vehicle, so Officer Reichert informed the defendant that he was, in fact, seizing the vehicle or detaining it until a canine could be brought to be walked around it, but the defendant and the passenger, the driver, they were free to leave. The driver elected to stay with the vehicle, and during that time frame, the driver, in fact, consented to the search. It was shortly into that search that the dog arrived prior to the officer finding the drugs, and the dog hit on the car. And once the dog hit on the car, probable cause was, in fact, established. Now, approximately 95.6 grams, or a little less than 4 ounces of heroin was found, and 244 grams of powdered cocaine, or roughly a half a pound of cocaine, was found. Now, the defendant filed a motion to suppress, and in his original motion, he alleged two things. First, he alleged that the officer did not have probable cause for the stop, and second, he alleged that there was no valid consent. Now, the district court heard evidence and testimony on March 8, 2004, and the government put on two witnesses, the stopping officer, Michael Reichert, and the backup officer, Chuck Mackin. The defendant did not testify, nor did the defendant put on any witnesses, nor did the defendant present any evidence. After the close of that hearing, the court offered the parties the opportunity to submit additional argument and supplemental authority. It was at that time that the defense, for the first time, raised that there was no reasonable suspicion to detain the car while the canine unit arrived. And that is what's at issue here today and what I will be asking the court to consider. Now, what's inherently important in this case is the standard of review. And as this court is well aware, the standard of review of reasonable suspicion determinations is de novo. Now, also, factual findings and credibility rulings, as this court is well aware, reviewed for clear error. Well, in this case, there are no credibility determinations.
How do we know that?
What's that, Your Honor?
How do we know that?
That there are no credibility determinations? I think we know that from review of the district court's order, that's document number 42. And specifically on page 13 of that order, the court stated that the officer's testimony regarding the stop was unchallenged and uncontradicted. So the district judge believed the officer not only about the facts surrounding the stop, but also about all of the different allegations.
He says it was unchallenged, and he says it was uncontradicted. He doesn't say he believes it. On the next page, he refers to the officer as a polished witness. What does that mean?
I don't think that should be held against the officer. I think that means he was professional. I hope that all of the witnesses the government puts on are professional and are pre-tried
then
so that they...
There's a footnote there, though, that says that Officer Reichert teaches a class called Aggressive Criminal Patrol, and goes on to say that one might call Professor Reichert's class, quote, how to avoid the warrant requirement in searching a vehicle, unquote. That doesn't sound to me like it's simply a complimentary, call him a polished witness, was complimentary or was a pat on the back, isn't that far more
easily
interpreted as a person whose motivations are somewhat suspect in the view of the district judge?
But then the district judge looked at each of the individual factors and did not find that those did not exist. He acknowledged that they existed and that under our Officer Riker rightfully would have considered them. Now, although the district judge did not view them collectively and failed to view them under the totality of the circumstances, but back to your main question, whether that he's a polished witness, I think the district court simply did not like or does not like drug courier profiles. And the court clearly states that in its order. But that's contrary to the...
Where does he do that? Say that in his order.
I think that it can be implied, certainly, that the court doesn't like drug courier profiles. I can't give you the specific page, but it's clear that the district court did not care or did not believe, certainly did not believe, that certain factors that law enforcement consider as drug courier profiles, this court did not buy. So the fact that the district court's dislike for drug courier profiles, I think, is more what is at issue here. So I don't think there's any credibility determinations, because he found...
So you look at this whole appeal really as... the government's affording us a chance to kind of slap down a district judge who's out of line.
No, I look at it as a chance to what de novo review is intended to do, and that is to unify the precedent, keep it uniform, and to set out a clear set of rules for officers to work by. That's how I look at it, and that you have the opportunity to review and should review under de novo standard, fresh, with a fresh pair of eyes, and review each of these 13 factors. And if you so believe that it doesn't amount to reasonable suspicion, well, then so rule that way. But I would suggest that after reviewing them carefully and reviewing them under the totality of the circumstances test, that this court would find that there was, in fact, reasonable suspicion. And if I could just quickly...
Does the district court... I may be misreading your brief, and this is why I'm asking you this. Does he owe any kind of deference to the police officer's view as to whether a particular fact does indicate that criminal activity is afoot?
Yes, Your Honor, he does owe some deference to that. The case law, I believe, cites that the district court should use a common sense approach as understood by those in the field of law enforcement.
Yeah, that's but isn't that different than deference? I've been sitting here all week looking at your appeal and figuring out, why did you go to the Solicitor General and ask for this case to be appealed? What's the government trying to do? One of the things the government might be doing here is trying to cabin the independence of the United States District Judge to make his mind up on the facts before. And if you're trying to do that and make that precedent, we got a real big problem.
No, sir, that's not what we're trying to do here. Based upon... the testimony that was presented, the testimony that the court heard, to preserve and protect what law enforcement can do, and the precedent of this circuit, as well as the precedent of the Supreme Court, we felt it was right to take this up. You know, it's not to punish the district judge, but I think that he incorrectly applied the totality of the circumstances test.
That's another issue, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is.
He didn't use the accepted methodology of viewing all of the facts as a totality.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Now, so, if you could speak to that one for a minute, I really would appreciate it. I mean, let's say he was right on some of these things, and they just are totally non-material to the issue. What are these factors? Which of these factors are the strongest ones?
I can identify those.
Please.
I think certainly nervousness that is not only at the beginning of the stop, but that continues throughout the entire stop is a key factor. The officer testified that nervousness generally diminishes when an individual is stopped and once they've learned the purpose of the stop. But in this case, the nervousness never diminished. The individual was shaking, trembling, would not look at the officer, and was extremely nervous. Another important factor was the third-party rental of the car. It's not that it's just a rental car. It was a third-party rental. It was limited to operation in three states. It was not stopped in one of those states that it was permitted operation. So I think that's an important factor. It's also known that drug couriers frequently use vehicles that are rented so that they can avoid seizure and forfeiture. So I think that's a legitimate drug courier profile. Another factor I believe that's also very legitimate is the duration and the destination of this trip. If I may continue.
Surely.
I think that's important, that it was coming from a drug source state, as well as the fact that
just on that.
Yes, sir.
The whole state of California is a drug source state, right?
Well,
I mean, that's your position, right?
Well, certainly the southern part of California is a drug source state. I don't know if I want to.
What state is not a drug source state?
Generally, states that are within the Midwest are not drug source states. States that are on the border to Mexico, Texas, Arizona are also considered drug source states, primarily. But also the fact the duration of this trip, that it's 36 hours it took them to get one way. I think that's clearly important. The passenger's nervousness is also likewise important. And the passengers, the inconsistent stories between what the passenger said was the purpose of the trip and what the driver said, and clearly the driver's lying about his criminal history is also clearly important factors. I would ask that this court consider those factors on a de novo basis and that look at these factors with a fresh pair of eyes and rule according to the case law of the Supreme Court and the precedent in this circuit and reverse the judgment of the district court.
With our chief judge's permission,
may I? Of course.
I have another problem I'd like to talk about just for a minute. Maybe you can help me out here. It seemed to me that all of this took place after the officer had had sufficient time to take care of the traffic citation. What was his authority for holding this person after the traffic citation?
Your Honor, the case law allows an officer, if he has suspicions, to continue his investigation. And he made this a totally consensual encounter. He gave all the paperwork back to the defendant. He let him go on his way. He started to turn and walk away, and he asked him, "Can I ask you a few questions?" At that point, the defendant said, yes, you may, and turned around. The encounter was consensual.
So your view is that at the end of the period allotted for giving the citation, he then had at least reasonable suspicion to proceed.
I think he also could have detained the car right at that point and said, "I'm detaining the car based upon based upon reasonable suspicion. I'm calling for a dog." He chose to try to go the safe route, get consent. When he didn't get consent, he had to detain the car.
Thank you. Great.
Now, just one thing about the factor of the third-party rental. It's diminished by Zambrana being a designated driver, though, isn't it? A little bit?
Yes, sir. It is diminished somewhat by him being a designated driver.
I mean, it isn't completely blank situation, so.
No, but I think that they claim the purpose for the trip is to sightsee and visit friends in California, yet the operation of the vehicle is limited to Virginia, Maryland, South Carolina, and the District of Columbia. Why would one rent a car to visit friends in California and have its operation limited to three states in the district? And clearly the officer knew that and found that suspicious.
You think the renter knew that?
It's speculation. I'm sure the renter knew that.
Limitations?
I'm sure the renter knew that.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Burrow. Mr. Steele.
May it please the court.
Come to the defense of Judge Reagan here, huh?
In defense of Judge Reagan, exactly. Good morning. My name is William Steele, and I represent the appellee, Ahmad Zambrana. I would disagree with Ms. Durbrow with regard to whether or not there was a finding made by the court with regard to credibility of the witness, Officer Reichert. As has been pointed out earlier, the court, while perhaps not specifically finding that it did not believe Officer Reichert, did make some rather pointed observations about Officer Reichert, I thought.
Is that referring to the department to which he belongs? Is that?
That is one of them, yes, sir. I don't
really
believe that.
Credibility from that, though? I mean, he noted that apparently the department's aggressive, but can we really draw?
Well, and I think that's right, and I think that's part of the aggressive criminal patrol program that they employ and that Officer Reichert teaches. I think Judge Reagan was making a point in the memorandum and order that this witness, Officer Reichert, was a very polished witness who knew what courts look for in determining probable cause and reasonable suspicion findings, and that, in fact, his testimony was perhaps tailored to allowing the court to find exactly that.
There's nothing wrong with that if he's telling the truth.
If he's telling the truth, but it does call into question, I think, the reasonableness of the inferences that the officer derives from some of the observations that he makes. And I suspect that that's what Judge Reagan was getting at with some of his comments. For example, noting that some might call this a how to avoid requirements in searching, or how to avoid a warrant requirement in the search of a vehicle course. And I think that is very relevant in analyzing Judge Reagan's decision here, and I would ask the court to take that into consideration. And in fact, as Ms. Durbrow pointed out, a district court's finding of fact and finding with regard to the credibility of witnesses is only to be reversed if there is clear error. It seems to me that the government's problem with the district court's decision is that it alleges that Judge Reagan failed to consider the totality of the circumstances. And I think that's just not the case. In fact, I believe the record demonstrates that Judge Reagan did, in fact, consider the totality of the circumstances and, in fact, made reference to it and said that the totality of the circumstances would not support a finding that there was reasonable suspicion here.
Mr. Steele, where did he do that?
I'm sorry?
Where did he do that? I would very much appreciate your pointing that out.
And, Your Honor, I wish I... Let's see. Actually, I think that might be in my brief.
I don't want to eat up your time, sir. If it's not readily available, I'm
I
sure.
Believe it's on page 14.
Thank you, sir.
Of his order. But, in fact, he does specifically make reference to that in his memorandum and order. It seems to me the court's problem, or the government's argument, is that because the court specifically analyzed each of the factors cited by Officer Reichert and made a finding that either it was reasonable or not reasonable, that he was basing his decision on the individual factors and not the totality of the circumstances. And I think that's just not the case. The court went to great pains to analyze each of these factors, and I'm not sure how you analyze the totality of the circumstances without analyzing each of the factors that go into the totality of circumstances. If you look at some of the factors that the court looked at that were cited by Officer Reichert as justification, for example, Officer Reichert felt that because the passenger showed him a military ID and indicated to him that he was in the Marine Reserves, that somehow created suspicion. Now, I don't know how any reasonable person can find or conclude that because someone shows a military ID and says they're a member of the armed forces or the reserves, that creates suspicion of illegal activity. And yet that was one of the factors cited by Officer Reichert and one of the factors that Judge Reagan determined was not a reasonable factor and that the court flatly rejected. Officer Reichert also indicated that his decision was based in part on the fact that there was one piece of luggage in the back seat, that there were inconsistent stories given by the passenger and the driver, which Judge Reagan found not to be inconsistent at all. In fact, both of them indicated they were going to California to visit a friend. One of the individuals added another element, which indicated that they were going sightseeing and the friend was going in the military. Hardly inconsistent.
Well, but against the backdrop of the time frame, it's a little questionable, isn't it? That kind of response?
Well, and the court found that the time frame was a legitimate factor to consider.
Right.
And I don't disagree with that. Although you do have two young guys in a car driving straight through to California, I can tell you from personal experience that young guys do that. That doesn't necessarily make it a suspicious activity. And that's what the court found, that in fact that was a reasonable factor to take into consideration, but that it, together with the other factors, did not rise to the level of reasonable suspicion.
Well, the military card is understandable as trying to boost one's standing in the eyes of the officer, but it doesn't really respond to the question of whether you have a criminal record, unless he's trying to suggest that one wouldn't be in the military.
Well,
I understand that possible inference.
And I think that would be a reasonable inference. I wouldn't be in the military if I had a prior conviction. And I think that is just as reasonable an inference, and perhaps more reasonable than assuming that or inferring that that was somehow an indication of some suspicious activity. There were, as I've indicated, a number of factors that the court said were reasonable for Officer Reichert to consider. But again, the court made the determination that they did not rise to the level of reasonable suspicion. The kinds of factors that this court in U.S. versus Childs held did not rise to the level of reasonable suspicion. Nervousness, for example. A failure to look the officer in the eye when he spoke to him. Those kinds of things. I think it's very clear that Judge Reagan made a very exhaustive review of the facts in this case. And I think clearly he did not misapply the totality of the circumstances doctrine. And in fact, that's what his decision is based on. Ms. Durbrow also made reference to the period of time between, well, let me rephrase that. Ms. Durbrow indicated that this was a consensual transaction, and I'd like to address that briefly. It's our belief that once Officer Reichert pulled over my client, and I would also suggest that if you look at the record, Officer Reichert, I think, made the determination he was going to pull over my client probably before he saw him cross the middle line, but certainly immediately thereafter. And the fact that he had him drive up to this abandoned gas station where, as he admitted, it's a better place to do a search would indicate that he had his mind made up at that point that he was going to try and get a search of this vehicle. But nevertheless, once he pulled my client over and made the determination that there was a criminal violation, i.e. the crossing of the center line, anything that occurred after that, I would suggest, is not based on reasonable suspicion. It is a seizure. It's an investigative stop, but it was not based upon reasonable suspicion and was not consensual.
Thank you, Mr. Steele.
Thank you.
Mr. Devereaux, your time has expired, but you may have a minute and a half or two.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I would like to point out in the court's order on page 21 that the court stated specifically, the court is particularly concerned with the use of certain pre-stop and post-stop indicators of drug activity, which the police employ to support a claim of reasonable suspicion and ultimately a warrantless search. Interpretation of innocent body language, the court goes on to name these, as evidence of a drug courier profile or deception is especially troubling. This district court judge did not like this police department, nor drug courier profiles. It doesn't matter what this district judge thought or decided regarding these factors. What's important is that today you decide under de novo review, you independently look at these factors and decide whether or not there was reasonable suspicion. And the government suggests that when you look at these factors and through the eyes of the officer, through a common sense approach, and taken together, that you will find that there is, in fact, reasonable suspicion to detain the car.
Go ahead.
Please, go ahead.
Mr. Rowe, obviously, like Judge Ripple and perhaps like Judge Kaney, you know, it's always important for us to, I guess, reflect in part when the government seeks the solicitor's permission to go forward in a case. And I recognize, therefore, that you see some value beyond the case.
That's correct, Your Honor.
In seeking relief in this case. But let me ask you this, so that I'm clear, at least for my thinking. Would you tell me what part of credibility you think is how much is credibility a factor in this appeal?
I think court found the officer credible. So it is not a part
of
this.
Isn't the government at all troubled by the characterization by Judge Reagan of the witness? I know you responded that you interpreted polish to mean
professional,
and whether I accept that or not, I certainly think that's an arguable position to take. But do you see no room for us to see a credibility call here?
No, sir,
I don't want
quite
you to,
honestly,
I'm not asking you to surrender your position.
No,
on the de novo.
I quite honestly don't see that there is. I think that if there were a problem, the judge would have found it and would have said so. He wrote a 29-page order. You know, he went through each fact.
He doesn't speak approvingly, does he, of this officer's background? I mean, one could argue that another judge might, but this judge, just on the issue of what a district judge can or cannot do, in the footnote regarding his experience, is he trying to telegraph that he has less than confidence in this officer?
No, I think what he's trying to state is that he is somewhat concerned with the Fourth Amendment and it being violated on the highways and doesn't recognize or want to recognize drug courier profiles.
Yeah,
he doesn't like them.
I hear you on that, and I appreciate that that's a read that you could make, and as they say, you were on the ground, or a fellow assistant of yours was on the ground. And I don't know whether you handled this one.
I handled it.
Handled it below. My sense is that you did, just from the passion with which you bring you to this case. I don't mean that in any way in a pejorative fashion. Indeed, I appreciate your commitment to the cause here of seeking reversal. But for me, the difficulty is we've got a case where it looks like the factors were considered, and I know we have a responsibility to take the de novo check on that, and if that was a standalone situation, that'd be one case for me.
I understand that,
but
Your Honor.
But I'm trying to parse for myself, taking frankly, your argument about this judge bringing a particular view to the area that may not track the law as it should, or is he particularizing in this case, though not completely being as explicit as might be the case if, in fact, credibility is on the table?
Your Honor, I think part of the problem of that is that the effect or the impact of a decision that would stand like this in the Southern District of Illinois for fellow law enforcement. And a fellow law enforcement officer like Officer Reichert, who's taken the time to learn the law and to apply it correctly, should not be punished, nor should his fellow officers be punished. And this isn't to punish Judge Reagan by any means.
No, I understand.
Judge Reagan was a former police officer, isn't that correct?
That's correct. At a day and a time and an age when police reacted and perhaps were not proactive, which is what our society calls for today, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Rhodes. Thank you, Mr. Steele. We appreciate your argument on both sides. Safe trip home. The